Brown comes to preach to us. Come ahead, preacher. Bless your heart. Amen. Bless you.
I appreciate that, my brother. Thank you so much. I may use it. I may end up out in the woods. I just sort of appreciate all of you being here so much. I was thinking today what a joy and what a privilege it is to be around God's people anywhere, anytime. But I'm thankful and grateful and appreciative that you let me be a part of this camp meeting family. I've been coming here long enough to be addicted to it. I like hanging around with people who have an addiction for Jesus.
Yeah.
That have the spiritual can't help it before they find out that they're in the church. They're already worshiping the God of the church.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for you. You'll never have anybody preach here ever that appreciates you any more. They may appreciate you a lot, but they can't appreciate you any more than I do tonight. I thank you for being concerned enough to pray for me. I'm not at that place to where prayer's an option. I'm at that place where I am an obligated person to prayer. Because if I don't pray, my situation, my circumstances will take over. My physical problems will become out front. They will try to cause me to be abnormal. They will try to do everything they can to combat me. But I'm glad and thankful that when people pray and people ask God to help, I'm glad he does. Now, I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to ask you to forget about your children. I'm going to ask you, you can pray for them another time. I'm going to ask you to forget about your job. That's something worth praying for and praying over. But at this time, in this venue, in this political time, or particular time, I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm going to ask every deacon. I'm going to ask every lady. I'm going to ask every single. I'm going to ask every teenager to focus yourself right here. And then when we're done, you can go right back to your normal prayer routine. And God, I'm sure, will use it. But if I don't get him tonight, if I don't have his help tonight, I'm done. It's finished. My mind doesn't work correctly, and it won't work right if you don't pray. So I believe God, and I believe God's able, and I believe that you're going to pray. I'm going to ask as many of you who will, join me around the altar. Men, deacons, and church members of the male sect would like to come and pray for us. I'd appreciate it very much. Brother Ed Maccabee is over here. I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer. We'll get him a microphone and let him just lead us from right where he is. I owe a great debt of gratitude to this man. I was 21 years old the night I met him. And he has guided and directed my life with advice and with encouragement all these years. Almost 50. Coming up in September will be 50 years our path crossed, and he was in his early 30s, and he's 86 now, and I'm 71, and we're still going together. So
amen.
I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Doc, I want you to pray like you never have, and I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit of God would wrap me up in his goodness and say through me and to me what I need to hear and say.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Now, Father, we're so thankful.
Oh, Lord, tonight,
oh, God,
to serve a living
thank
God.
Thank you for him. Thank you for touching
thank
him.
Thank you, dear Lord God,
God,
for
Lord,
all
again
that you've done
I pray for fresh anointing.
Thank you, Lord, for what
for
you've done
mercy.
For this camp meeting down
Lord,
through the years.
Lord, I pray for fresh power.
And thank you, Lord, for
fresh
what you're doing
thought
right
mind.
Now.
Fresh
I do pray, Lord,
God.
For
Lord, you
this
strengthen him, God. Clear his mind.
I pray, Lord God, as he stands.
Oh, God.
That you give him, Lord, extra strength.
Help him, oh, God, in these
moments. To help his mind to be sharp. I pray, oh, Lord God, that he'd have a word for us. Lord, we come tonight knowing that we have a need. Lord, we want to hear from heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use this man tonight in a special way. Give him physical, spiritual, and mental energy, Lord. I pray that he'd be able to do what he wants to do in his heart. You know our needs, Lord. You know every one of us. You know what we need. And so I pray that you meet our need tonight through the preaching of this dear brother. Thank you, Lord, that our paths crossed many years ago. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help him tonight. May the will of God be done, Lord. You know every one of us. You know exactly what we need to hear tonight. And so I pray that you give this man of God the message that we need to hear. And I pray, Lord, that we'd receive it and we'd act upon it. Lord God, for all that you do for us, we'll be careful to praise you and to honor you and bless you and give you the glory for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, fellas, and thank you, Brother McAbee. And God bless you, church. Take your Bible and go with me, if you will, to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter. We're going to read verses 19 down through verse number 25, I think it is. 19 to 25 of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll read that in just a minute. I love to preach with props. I love to preach having a visual aid. I've got all kind of things at home I've done. I've got a sermon on a bubble gum machine. I've got a sermon where I stir a pot in a chef's outfit and preach on stir up the gift of God that's in you. Amen. I love to do it. Our kids love to get in a meeting where God does that kind of thing. And tonight is no different. Last night, I held up this container of Boost, which is a protein supplement to the body. My doctor, who is a neurologist and only specifies in and participates in Parkinson's patients, he doesn't deal with anything else, and he took me on as a case about 4 years ago, and I went to him not long ago. I told you this last night. He said, "What is the biggest problem you're having?" I said, "I don't have any strength after the afternoon. When 5 o'clock rolls around, I'm just done. I'm finished. I'm whipped." He told me, he said, "I want you to go over there to the store." He didn't tell me to get this particular one. He said, "Get you one of those supplement drinks and drink two a day, one in the morning with your breakfast and one at night with supper." He said, "And see if it starts helping you." Now, it didn't give me a whole lot of help, but I'm still doing it. I can't tell it because I'm so wired that for it to catch up with me, it's going to take a while. But I went over to Walmart and got one of these out, and I got to looking at it. And last night, we found out that the first thing, there's five things on this bottle I'm going to preach on through Friday. The one last night was, it says on it, shake it well. You got to shake it up. Why? Because what's in the bottom's got to get to the top, because the top's where you drink. That is brilliant. You ought to call me an intelligent creature right there. What's on the bottom needs to get to the top so all of it can get to work. And we talked about stirring up the gift of God that is in you. We talked about how God stirs us and how God shakes us. Shaking is not the responsibility of yourself. Shaking is not the responsibility of the preacher. The shaking is God's responsibility. And have you ever been shook up? If you have, you know that God can stir some stuff up in you. And he can cause that shelf life to become longer and cause that shelf life to become more fruitful by getting it down and shaking it up. I want you to remember this, because we're not here this week to compare the labels of our suits. We're not here to try to find out who goes to what hairdresser. We came, as the preacher's already said, not to count how many years we've had. Thank God for 66. That's a long time. Down at Greer, I preached down at Greer last month or two, and theirs was 70 years. And these camp meetings have been going a while, and I appreciate everything that they do. But I want to tell you, God is the booster.
Yeah. Right.
God is the worker. God is the movement. And God is the sustainer of our life. So tonight we're going to go at the second one and we're going to read this. It has within it, this does, and most all of them do, has 26 vital ingredients where if you move one out, it becomes difficult for the whole thing to do as it's supposed to. You can't take anything out of it and it do as it was intended to do. In other words, all the ingredients have to be in it and all the ingredients have to be active. It is a togetherness in this bottle that is important. It is a oneness in this bottle that is important. You can take the cap off and drink it, and that's what it's made for. But as long as that cap is on it, and as long as the ingredients are in it, and the contents are in this bottle, it will be a boost, but it has to keep its essential ingredients. I got to thinking about how important you are to the house of God. How important you are in the unifying of the body of Christ. The Bible says and teaches us in Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant. I like it when it's pleasant in church. I don't like to see people rough riding over one another, gossiping and talking about one another. It's good and pleasant when brethren are in unity and in peace together. I don't know most of you all, so anything I say is just God tagging you out. I have no idea. I couldn't preach on anything that I know about any of you. So here I am tonight telling you, you ought to be together on everything that has to do with God's word. And you ought to be together with everything that happens in God's house. We've got feuding and fractions and people who are splitting and people who are upset and people who have quit and people who have walked off. I've given my life to this. This man's given his life to it. This man over here has given his life to it. And the one thing we've all despised mostly is not our salary. It's not the size of our churches. It's not the Bible we believe in as much as it is having to watch people leave the house of God and go nowhere when they leave, saying God called them out. If God called you from, God's going to call you to. And if you go from and don't go to, you went from wrong. You say, I don't like you. Well, I don't like you either if you don't like the Bible. The Word of God, it keeps us, and the Word of God shows us and tells us that the ingredients are 26 of them, and they're all together, and they're not fighting, they're not splitting, they're not aggravated, they're not trying to find another bottle to jump in. If they do, they're going to hurt themselves. If they do, they're going to be a problem. If they do, they take away from the ingredient quality of this particular product. Now there are three things about unity I want to give you tonight quickly if I can. Three, what did we call them, Jake? Benefits. Three characteristics or three benefits of living in unity. Now I want you to listen to something. I'm going to give an invitation in just a minute. It's not going to be long. I'm going to ask you to come down these aisles. I don't want you to gawk at me. I don't want you to peer through me. I don't want you to look at me like a calf standing in a new gate. I want you to come and say, Lord, make me the kind of Christian that would be beneficial to the household of faith. I don't care where you go to church. I'm not here to try to check out everybody's lapel, trying to check out somebody's membership affiliation. I'm here to tell you, bless God, if you get in unity with the Holy Spirit and in unity with one another, God will lead you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you won't have anything to worry about except you doing what he says. Number one, I want you to see it tonight, if you will, please. First of all, we can persevere more steadfastly if we are in union. We can persevere steadfastly if we are living in unity. Let me give you the verse. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's not talking about Buddha there. He's not talking about some other god there. He's not talking about any other entity there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God birthing you into the kingdom of God and you holding fast to that profession. I'm holding tonight fast. It's not talking about speed. It's talking about grip. It's talking about want to. It's talking about willingness. It's talking about us getting with the program. It's talking about us doing what we ought to do. So the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 10:23 that we're to hold fast. We need one another. Everybody in here needs accountability. We need to be able to lift one another up. We need to be able to pray for one another. We don't need to segregate ourselves away or ostracize ourselves off somewhere. We don't need to be hitting and missing when the man gets up to preach the word of God. Both of your ears are all to say, that sounds familiar. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm glad, thank God, that you can find God where a man's preaching God's word and preaching it truth. Just like they do, the men under this building do. I'm sure every one of us need accountability. We're more likely to be encouraged to faithfulness when we are closely knit together. Oh my, oh my. I like Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone. Are you listening? That is alone when he falleth. For the word of God says and continues to say, for he hath not another to help him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Amen. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'll tell you why I'm still pastoring after 48 years and 42 in the same place. I still like to see people fall in love with each other. I still like to see people fall in love with the Bible. I like to see people fall in love with the deacon. I like to see people fall in love with the household of faith. I don't want to be untied from the house of God. I don't want to be out there doing my thing. I don't want to be out there doing what they think I'm supposed to do. I like, thank God, being around people who love to be around God. I want something to rub off on me from everybody I meet in such a way, bless God, that my life can be enhanced and my soul can be blessed. I'm feeling black and Pentecostal at the same time. I'm glad, thank God, and you can just sit down and look at me, but I'm going to tell you, if I get hooked up, I don't really care, but I need you to get in here and help me tonight. Let's encourage one another. I'm going to preach and you get happy. Some of you that can't run far, don't be running because you had to run back. But I'm glad and thankful, praise God, that we got us a unity. We're not going to let the devil split us up. We're not going to let the devil rag on us. We're not going to let the devil knife us. We're not going to let the devil divide us. We're going to stand true blue in the middle of the house of God, and we're going to give God glory and praise for saving a bunch of devils like we were, and put our feet on a solid rock and establish our goings, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. And amen. Glory to his name. I like what the word of God has to say about what we need to do. Is we need to persevere more steadfastly. We do that with each other. Yeah. Amen. We persevere because of the prayers of the saints. How can you persevere alone? How can you persevere in solitude? How can you persevere as a lone wolf when the Bible says that we ought to love one another? If we're to love one another, we got to get around one another long enough to know one another. You can't say I love him. If some of you married that way, you probably ain't married no more. I just retch out, if you're from Bryson City, I'll just retch out and get me one. You better retch out and get the right one, because I promise you the wrong one will do you in. Every one of us ought to do everything that we can to unify in the body of Christ. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question now. Can I ask it and apply it? Can I ask it and get you to say glory to this? We can persevere more steadfastly together than we can apart. How many of you have ever come to the house of God just feeling like somebody beat the devil out of you? I mean, you just come to the house of God weak, and you come saying, I wish I hadn't have come. Don't even want to be there. Don't even want to be a part of it. I have. I'm the preacher. I'm set up on the platform and said, oh God, let something break out where I don't have to do nothing. If they just have a fight, let them fight in the back and let me sit up here and they'll keep their eyes off me and I'll just sit up here on the platform. I don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like doing it. You say you ever come to a place you don't feel like it? Oh yeah, and you lying if you tell me you hadn't or you hadn't been called on. Just hang around, honey, because I promise you the devil's going to find out where you are and he's going to do everything he can to bash and trash you. But I'm glad it don't last long. They'll heist up a tune. All of a sudden, they'll start singing about amazing grace, how sweet the sound. All of a sudden, they'll sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? And all of a sudden, something down in me starts, All of a sudden, I feel that desire rising up. All of a sudden, I feel that want to coming back. Is anybody with me tonight? Is anybody here that knows what I'm talking about? Thank God you can open that book and all of a sudden God starts talking through you. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost begins to minister through you. It ain't got nothing to do with how you feel. It ain't got nothing to do with what you feel. Thank God and the Lamb forevermore. It's got something to do with the Holy Ghost stirring in the pit of your heart. And in the gable end of your soul, God will start something you can't stop.
Oh yeah, buddy.
You need each other. What is that called? Persevering. Persevering. This is one of the few meetings I have to where I know people from bygone meetings. I don't know how long I've been coming up here, but I know most of the faces here. You persevered. You kept walking. And I could just point a finger at some of you men and you could stand up and tell me awful tragedy, troubles, and struggles in your life. But you persevered. Why is it that when everybody starts getting spiritually ill and sick, they want to bail out of the hospital? They want to bail out of the hospital. Listen, the time you need to stay is when you're sick. The time you need to stay is when you're hurting. The time you need to just put a good grip on a pew and sit there and let God work on you is when you're sick. You don't need to be leaving, making decisions when you're sick. Because when you get sick, that's not the time that you're going to hear God speak to you probably. But stay put. He'll be back in a little while. I had a friend of mine years ago that got bursitis and rheumatoid arthritis in his left arm. It froze. He couldn't move it. It hurt so bad he couldn't touch it. He took pills on top of pills to try to get that shoulder to let down and to back off and to stop hurting him. And all of a sudden one night he got up and he said, I can't do this anymore. He said, I'm going to take a leave of absence and decide whether or not I need to stay here. and do this. And he gave the church up about 5 or 6 weeks later because of the pain was so bad and the situation was so difficult. And all of a sudden, after he gave it up and left, he got better. He started recuperating. They'd already called a pastor. He called me up and said, "I ain't got nothing to do and nowhere to go." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I moved when I was hurting, and I should have stayed put till I got well." Let me say something. That'll work tonight. You don't need to be hunting you another doctor. You need to be staying in the emergency room where you are until they put you in a room and fix you. And then you can start your moving around if you want to. If you can't go back to where you left wrong. If you listen to me, you may not ever go back. That's not my issue. I said if you can't, if you hurt, if they hurt you, fix it in your heart and watch God do something marvelous and wonderful. Will you use the church to persevere? Last night, there was a little girl came up to me. She said, "My daddy and mama raised me in sawdust floors." She said, "I have been in church all my life. I don't know who she is, don't know how she is, don't know if she's here tonight or not. But I had a word of prayer with her." She opened her eyes. She said, "I didn't get to finish what I was going to tell you." She said, "My mama and my daddy took me to church and said, 'You was preaching 25 years ago when God touched my life and my daddy.' He was a drunkard. My mother was out of church with him. And I had no idea what I was doing." She said, "But I knew we needed help." And she said, "God saved me while you were preaching." I got the biggest smile in my heart. I got the greatest jump in my step. I said, "Hallelujah to God. It still works and people still need you and still people want you. And people are living on the perseverance of their past and their present." Number two, let me give you the second one. The third one, we'll give it up. Number two. Look with me, if you will, please, at verse number 24 of Hebrews 10. Verse number 24, what does it say? It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke and love and to good works." Let us provoke people to love and good works. Let me say it again. Let us be a provoker. Let our lives so speak when our mouth is quiet. Let our testimony not be a testifony. Let's let our life and our light shine as the darkness has been run off here in this meeting by these lights. Let us lift ourselves before him and say to God that he and he alone is the one that provokes us into good works. Oh my goodness alive. The Bible says to consider. Strong says the word consider means to observe fully. How can we really consider someone without whom we know by trying to help them and encourage them? We need to know them. And that means to induce an action of example. Provoke means to call to action. Every one of us, we ought to stir one another up. Every one of us ought to be careful to provoke one another to good work. These preacher boys, my life ought to mean something to their life, and their life ought to mean something to my life, because we provoke one another to do not evil, not wickedness, not carnality, but the spiritual things that God wants us to do. And it's not the job of the preacher to provoke you. He does, because he preaches a provoking book. That book says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and don't give up and don't give it up." That's wonderful. But your life ought to take on the component of compelling people and propelling people into doing what God wants them to do. I remember when I first got saved, there was an old guy in the house of God named Horace Green. I was in a convention work and had just gotten saved and was wide open. I had heard Brother McElby preach one time at his place there in Gaffney, and I thought to myself, my God, what has he got that I ain't? He's got something going on in him that ain't going on in me. And I was in the church, and I heard him preach at Northside, and I went back, and I decided I was going to move up to the front of the building. Well, I moved up on the front row. My wife is Presbyterian at heart. She not in membership, but she was sitting next to me, and there was an old man over here, and he kept grunting. Every time I turned around, he said, I thought, there was a guy sitting next to me I'd got to know. I said, what's wrong with that fella? I thought he might have a problem physically or mentally. I said, what's wrong with him? He said, he's happy. I said, happy? About what? He said, the church service. He was the only one in the church. You couldn't get a holy grunt out of nobody else. But that old man was sitting over there. He was older than dirt anyway. And he just loved going to church. And he'd say, every time they'd say something he really liked, he'd up it a little bit. Well, I was sitting over here one Sunday morning after about 3 or 4 weeks, and before I knew it, he done provoked me. Before I knew it, he done stirred me up. And I was sitting up on the front row, and I looked over there at him and was talking about that Ethiopian eunuch and how he met God and how God met him. And the old preacher was preaching the house of fire, and all of a sudden, old Horace said, I said, He put my wife, buried her elbow in my rib cage a foot and a half. I thought she punctured my lung. Wham! She said, hush! And all of a sudden we got, to sound like a motorcycle trying to start. And the preacher called a meeting with us. Yeah, he did. He called a meeting with us. He said, look, fellas, he said, I really like y'all making a little noise. It sure beats nothing. He said, but I wonder if we could just practice a minute. He had us in his office. Wonder if we could practice a minute. He said, that ain't in the Bible. He said, but amen is. He said, Brother Brown, can you say amen? I said, amen. He said, Brother Horace, he said, He said, well, I can tell that he's not going to change, and that's all right. But Brother Brown, would you help me and start saying amen? I graduated up to hallelujah. I started saying glory. I found them books in the Bible, them words in the Bible. You ought to check it out. There's a bunch of stuff in there you can do you ain't doing that you wish you'd do. I'm telling you what, every once in a while he'd say something I like, and I'd say, glory. And old Horace, and Mike would preach another 10 minutes. God blessed him, and God help him. He provoked me. You know, are your looks provoking people to get as ugly as you are? Is your attitude in the house of God a provoking attitude? I try to provoke this kid. I try to encourage him. I try to mentor him like I have 50 or 60 along the way. I've tried to tell him and help him and encourage him. And the first time I ever grunted, it scared me to death. And I thought for sure I was going to get churched. But I just kept going. Praise God. And the Lord started letting me know how much he liked it. Boy, I just kept going. Hallelujah. I didn't get in the back. I didn't get in the middle. I got right up on the front row where, praise God, I got under the spout where the amen was coming out. I was having the time of my life. Let me ask you something. Provoke people to be good Christians. Provoke people to be good witnesses. Provoke people to do right. And provoke people to stand for Jesus in this age when they're falling out like flies. Give God glory. Give God praise. If it hair lips hell and the devil, Let a real potato chip. Enjoy yourself in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to his name. Can I say something to you? We need to provoke every opportunity we get. We need to provoke people specifically. We need to provoke people to love and for good works. What's going to provoke love? Showing it.
Yeah, right.
I love you. Saying it. Amen. Every time the preacher calls me, every time Brother McAvey and I talk, every time I get to talk to Brother Barry, it's I love you and I appreciate you. I'm glad for that. A text that ends and I love you is in God's mind forever. And every one of these young preachers need to know that somebody cares. They need to know that God loves them in such a way that they can't do anything to make him unlove them. They need to just know somebody cares, because many folks don't show it. We live in a generation of isolation. We live in a generation of spectation. We live in a generation of people who are just sort of religious but not real. I encourage you to take off your mask tonight. I encourage you to let your hair down. I encourage you to look up at Jesus and thank him for saving you and for writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and allowing you to go to heaven and not hell, and let you know how good it is to be saved by grace through faith in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Number three. We can participate more spiritually. Let me give you the first one and rehearse it just a moment, all right? We can persevere more steadfastly when we're together.
Amen.
You can get over your troubles if you got one another.
Amen.
Number two, we can provoke more specifically if we'll let ourselves do that. Provoking one another and considering one another. And then thirdly and lastly, we can participate more scripturally when we allow ourselves to look at verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Now notice, it doesn't say the pulpit exhorts you. But it doesn't say it doesn't. It's a part of it.
Right.
But it says exhorting one another.
Yes. Right.
I'm talking about for those people that stand in the front door of the church house and shake hands with people when they come in. I got every exit, every entrance, and every place you go in and out of our buildings, we got people standing there, and I have taught them how to laugh. If they can't laugh, bless the Lord, I give them laughing classes. They may not get happy, but they dead well don't get right enough to do that. Shake their hand and tell them you're glad to see them. Shake their hand and say hello. Shake their hands and wish them well. Hug their necks if you're a lady or a friend of someone that comes in. Let them know you love them. Express yourself.
Amen.
Let God do something in there, because it is encouraging to people when you love on them and encourage them. Oh my goodness alive. I quit. I'm done. I'm finished. I want to tell you how important it is and how encouraging it is for us to not forsake ourselves assembling together. We live in a day when people want to have a choice of what they do, and the Bible is plain that we need to dig in our heels where we are. Now, God moves people and God disturbs situations, and I know that, but he ain't in half of what I'm seeing. They go over there because they wear shorts, and they go over there because they got drums, and they go over there because they this, and you know what I'm talking about. Men will hook up with men and women will hook up with women. God knows we don't need to get hooked up in that mess. But we do need to exhort one another. What does that mean? You do it all the time around here. These fellows came up to me last night and hugged my neck and said, good preaching. I said, thank you, son. Another one came up and said, I needed to hear that. Another one came up and said, thank you for being real. Thank you for helping me. I got some help tonight. Brother Scott came up to me And he said, you got some help tonight too. I said, you sure right about that. You sure right. The Holy Spirit of God exhorted my heart. And he will yours. If you just hang in there and stay put and watch God do something. The ingredients in that bottle, they're vital to the necessity of that bottle. They're vital to taking that medicine. They're vital to what's in that container. I'll tell you this story and quit. Just 2 or 3 years ago, I had a lady in the church whose kidneys went bad. She was going to have to dialyze. She was going to have a transplant, and she was going to have help. They told her she had about 6 months to get it done. She had a rare kidney disease and a problematic situation brewing. Everybody in her family tried to see if they were a match. She had a twin sister in New York that did not match. Nobody in her family matched. I mean, you don't go to the church and say, would you let me have one of your kidneys, please? Just pass your kidney up here and let me. That ain't never going to happen. And then, you know, I got two and I still got two. And if you need one, I still got two. You say, you're not very loving. No, but I got two kidneys at work. And I'm getting old enough to where they work a lot. Hello. Don't look at me funny. And there was a woman in the choir sitting right next to the woman needing the kidney. She said, I'll be tested. She said, there's no need. So many have, and it hadn't flourished in any way. Don't worry about it. Don't put yourself through this. She said, I believe the Lord wants me to. Sitting next to her in the choir on a Sunday, they were going to be tested on a Monday. They went down there together, and she was a perfect match. They wheeled them in to the operating room on the designated date, made the incision, took the good kidney out, made the incision, took the bad kidney out, put the good kidney where the bad kidney was, and the other church member only got one. And the other one only got one. But both of them was in church on Sunday, and they're there every time the doors open. And they're sitting in the choir together, holding hands, saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm glad to know that there's beneficial results when we get into the house of God. And if you need help and encouragement and exhortation and godliness and hope and help and strength, you're not going to find it anywhere like you'll find it in a good old-fashioned church where the Bible's preached. Can I get a witness from somebody tonight? Can somebody get happy enough to holler hallelujah? Amen. We need each other. You got a new preacher. You need to rally around him. You've got situations and new problems and new circumstances. Oh, this is a good time to hunker down in the house of God and say, we're going together, exhort one another and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to excommunicate ourselves from each other. We're going to find ourselves living for God the best we know how, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight that you'll encourage and strengthen and help every person here. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for helping me tonight. Thank you for encouraging me through these folks. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that the power of the Holy Spirit would open our blinded eyes and open our dull hearts and open our dull spirits and let us see. We need to provoke people to good works and love. Don't let me be a preacher that discourages another one. Don't let me be somebody that can't illustrate love and encouragement to others. Oh God, I beg you. Let us see, Lord, that if we'll give ourselves over to you, we can participate better. We can see God do great and wonderful things in the household of faith. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Preacher, I'm a member of the house of God, but I don't know if I'm a part of the family of God. I don't know for sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure that I'm ready to meet God. Maybe you're saved and you'd say, I'm out of step with him. I'm out of fellowship with him. I wonder tonight if you'd let the Holy Spirit of God dictate to you what you need to hear. If you would ask him in the power of God to touch your life, to bring you down to the front and let us pray for you and pray with you. And pray for one another. You always do that well here. Somebody comes, four or five others come. Hallelujah. We're not going to try to stop that. That's wonderful because we love each other and we provoke love and service. Brother McElby has been such a provoker. Such an illustration. I know he feels like now when he's sitting home by himself that he's lost something. He feels like he's not important anymore. He feels like he's alone. And he feels like he's isolated. But Holy Ghost, every time I open a Bible, every time I preach a message, every time across this country where dozens of others are that he's influenced over the years, he provoked me to the gospel ministry. And every time I get to preach, he's a part of it. I've illustrated his life from the west coast to the east, from the north to the south. And what a great, great opportunity to have such a mentor and to have the privilege and the honor of going through suffering problems, knowing he was praying and provoking me to good works. Thank God for Brother Scott. Thank God for this young fellow that's down at Trinity. Thank God for Brother Goodman. I don't have a thing to say but hallelujah to God about any of them. And I ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit to take this hodgepodge of a sermon. Let some of it, something in it, a one-liner in it, an illustration in it, a story in it, something. And let it press on our soul and change our life. I wonder how many get up out of your seat and say, I'm saved. I'm a part of a church under this tabernacle. I'm part of a church out yonder. Sunday, I'll be in my place in the house of God. I want to come and pray for power for God to use me and for power for God to help me and for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with me on the Lord's day. I wonder how many of you would get up and come right now. Just come, 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 come. That's it. That's it. Coming from the back, coming from the front. Come on. Come on, that's it. Just come on. I'm going to be right in here with you in just a minute. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord with all we got. We're going to ask God to run the devil off. We're going to ask God to rebuke every demon in and out of hell. We're going to ask the Lord to maintain a strength and a hold on us that we can't let go of and he can't either. I want you to come. Come quickly. Come on, something's wrong with me, preacher. I'm out of touch. Something's wrong with me, preacher. I don't feel like I used to. Something's wrong. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on around the corner. Come on off the seat. Come on from the back. Come from the middle. Come on and join these folks that are here. We're going to pray for one another. I believe this. I believe everybody gets up out of your seats going to have a good, old-fashioned Holy Ghost stirring time this weekend. Come and let the Lord do it. If you got anything against anybody, tell them tonight that you're sorry and clean it up the best you can and go to the house of God on Sunday and let her rip. Tell God how glad you are to be kin to him. Let God know how much you are and how favorable you are toward his work. Get your tithe out and take it with you. Get your Bible and take it with you. Let the devil know whose side you're on. Tell them real quick, I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able. Come on, anybody else want to get in on this prayer and watch God do something? That's it, come on. I want God to do something for me on the Lord's Day. Well, come on Tuesday and start praying and start seeking the Lord. Start seeking God. Amen to him. That's it. My husband's lost. I got a son on drugs. I got a daughter away from God. Well, come on. There's a God at this altar tonight with all kinds of remedies. If you'll come, he'll exude those energies, entities your way and help you to find peace with him. Come on, that's it. Others are still coming. You come on if God spoke to you. We're going to close it out now in 1 minute. Come quickly. Come quickly. I want to be prayed for. You girls, come on. There's some women here that'll pray for you. You fellas, come on. There's men up here that'll pray for you. We'll ask the Lord to do great and mighty things. 30 seconds. Come on. Come on. I'm tired, preacher. I'm weary in the journey. Come on. God's not tired of you, and you're not near as tired as you think you are. There's a new boost. There's a boost. If you'll get in those ingredients and let God's Holy Spirit touch you, I promise you the Holy Spirit will do more than you could ever do for yourself. 10 seconds. Are you coming? Jump up. Jump up. I need somebody to pray with me and get it settled. And get it settled tonight. Come on quickly. All right, Brother Scott. God bless you, my brother. We're praying you take over. God bless you.
Stand with me if you will. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to pray in a moment. I don't know what a bottle of Boost costs. But I know it's more expensive than a bottle of water or knockoff Coca-Cola because of the ingredients make it up.
You're right.
We had a luncheon today at the church, and my wife got me up early this morning and said, you need to go get me some vanilla extract, some pure vanilla extract. Said, not imitation. So I got my clothes on and went. And before I went out the door, she said, I don't want imitation. I want the pure vanilla extract. I went to the store. You know what pure vanilla extract costs? It costs $5 for 1 ounce. But I noticed that beside that was another bottle. It's just $2.50. Well, I ain't the smartest fella in the world, but I grabbed that up. I said, man, I ain't gonna pay $5 for something when I can get it for $2.50. But I noticed that it was imitation vanilla extract. That other was more expensive because of the purity. Could I say to you, we got too much imitation down at the house of God. And we need some pure things that can be combined together that'll give us a boost. I blessed pray the Lord tonight to get you and I pure. We don't need any more knockoffs. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the preaching of the Word of God this night. Lord, thank you for the man of God laying his heart open, oh God. Lord, I pray, God, we'd not let the Word of God fall and remain in the shavings, oh God. Lord, we don't need any more imitation. Lord, we don't need any more knockoffs, God. And Lord, you're looking for a pure bride. Lord, you're looking for a holy bride. So, Lord, I pray we'd get our attitudes adjusted and we'd get together. And Lord, we'd be provoking and we'd be loving and we'd be pursuing a good works in our lives and in one another. God, thank you again tonight for using the man of God to give us a boost further up the road for you. All for your honor and all for your glory, we ask it and pray. Amen and amen. There it is. Mind the Lord. Shake hands, you go. You're liberty if you've done what he wanted you to do tonight. Amen.